So we got a lot to do in this hour, and we're going to kick it off with our football authority, the amazing, the great Ross Tucker. And make sure you check out Ross every day.
Yep.
On the every day, does
every
it?
Day.
Oh, yeah, he's unbelievable.
Every day on the Ross Tucker podcast, yep. And you can follow him on social media at Ross Tucker. Ross, every day you're doing it now.
Absolutely, Andrew. By the way, it's at Ross Tucker NFL on social media.
My bad.
At
My
Ross
bad.
Tucker.
My bad.
At Ross Tucker, some like Yahoo Finance imposter that won't give me my name, but whatever. I'm here.
Right. At Ross Tucker NFL. Every day you do one. Is this fun for you? Do you enjoy it?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I'm just talking football from my house. It's amazing. It's 30 minutes, so when people are commuting and they're not listening to WIP, check out the Ross Tucker podcast.
Well, I think that's my future, too.
Ross, everybody's podcasting.
I may come over and podcast with you at your house. Right?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, Ross. The Eagles, according to the early postings on over-under victories, Eagles in a 17-game schedule this season coming up, over-under for wins, 6.5. You like them over, you like them under.
You know what, Angel? I like them over, and it's funny because I also do the Even Money podcast, which is the betting one with your guy Steve Fezzik, mm-hmm. And we were talking about this next week. I like the over. I mean, here's the thing. If you look at them, there's this perception, I believe, because Jeffrey Lurie called it a transition year and no more Peterson, no more Wentz, and the dead cap money from Wentz. I think there's a perception that the Eagles are going to be really, really bad. I mean, if you look at their offensive line, defensive line right now, they're pretty good. Like, I don't see how they're worse than they were last year. I mean, if they had just average quarterback play last year, they win 8 games and they win that division. I'm not just saying this, Angelo, because he's not here anymore. I said it last year. I'm a fan of him as a young man. But Carson was awful. I mean, he was so bad. He was arguably the worst quarterback in the NFL. If they just get – now, we don't know how Jalen Hurts is going to be, but if they just got decent quarterback play, I think they're a 500 team. I really do. I guess I'm higher on them than some other people. Look, they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not making a playoff run. I don't see that happening. But I definitely like the over 6.5 on a 17-game slate.
I'm even going to go further. I never saw a team have more injuries than they did last year. What if the next year it equals out a little bit and they don't have as many? They still got
the
a veteran core. They got a quality core.
Well, that's the key, right, especially on the offensive and defensive line. Like they need Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox to stay healthy and play well. Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson. And some people would argue that that's a lot to ask. Those guys are all in their 30s. The odds are they won't all stay healthy. But if they do – I don't think that there's as many holes, especially with them getting Eric Wilson and Anthony Harris from Minnesota. I don't think there's as many holes on this team as other people do. And look around the division. I mean, the Giants still aren't very good. I think Washington and Dallas are probably the two favorites. I was a little surprised Dallas's win total is like at 9.5. I think that they're all about 8-9 win teams, Dallas and Washington. I don't think the Eagles are that far away from that.
All right, so, Ross, the big X factor is that you have a brand-new coach who has never even called plays before, Nick Sirianni. And 2 days ago, the Eagles released some audio of him, actually some video of him, going berserk watching game tape. I don't think anyone has ever been more excited watching game tape than him. I want to play this for you because my biggest concern is that he does – that it won't – what his act is, what his game is, his enthusiasm will not play in the hard, cold reality of the NFL. Here's a sample of Nick Sirianni talking about a player he loves.
Right, he creates yards after catch with power, right? Sink out of there. You can look at the emotion on the sideline. I love that. Let's Jason Michael, our tight – go back. Go back. Look, that's Jason Michael, our tight end coach, because he's the tight end coach here. Look at the teammates. Look how much love they have for each other. That's Jack Doyle. Look how excited. That's Eric Ebron. Look how excited that tight end room is that Mo Alie-Cox just got a little touch right there.
Is that going to play in the NFL?
So there's a couple things here, Angelo. Number one, I would be curious to know whether or not that's how he will act in front of the guys. Like that's how he'll be in front of the guys. Or if that was – something he wanted to really emphasize, the energy, the passion, the excitement, because he knew it was going up on the Eagles website. So we don't have the answer to that, number one, right?
All right?
Number two, what I would tell you, and this is the God's honest truth, the most important thing for any head coach, or any coach, period, is that they are authentic and genuine to themselves. Meaning, like, if that's who he really is, Angelo, and he's that way every day, I think people will really embrace it and guys will love it. But if you can tell that it's not really him and that there's some phony there, that's a major problem.
I thought about that because people said Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler was scripted and at times very phony.
I don't get
that vibe
from
Sirianni.
No, I'm not necessarily getting that. But did that style remind you at all of the greatest coach of all time who you played for, Bill Belichick? Was that in any way similar to Bill's approach?
No, not at all.
Okay.
However,
yep.
There are many former Patriots assistants that go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And they try to do what Belichick did, Angelo. You know, Mangini and McDaniels and whoever. It doesn't work. Because the guys know it's not really them. They're kind of trying to be somebody they're not. As long as you, like, Belichick is a jerk and it's all negative reinforcement, but it works for him. Like, that's who he is, right? I had Schottenheimer in Washington. He was very rah-rah. He was very motivation. And guys would have run through a wall for him. They loved it because that's who he – like, that was legitimately
one of the best coaches
was.
In Philly ever, Dick Vermeil. Same way.
Very
energetic and loving.
That seemed another level of energy to me. But I'm – you know me. I'm keeping an open book on this. Blank page. No opinions yet.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get to some of this other stuff. Ross, Ike Reese brought this up. It's haunted me for a week now. So Ike goes how he traded down 6-12 in the first round. Why didn't he just wait till the draft to see who was there at 6? Wouldn't that have made more sense?
My understanding from reading up on it is that the Dolphins – by the way, I thought it was a terrible trade by the Dolphins to go from 12 to 6 and give up next year's first-round pick. But the Dolphins' logic, Angelo, was, well, we're getting 3 first-round picks from the Niners to move down from 3 to 12, but we still want to get either Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts or maybe Penei Sewell. They still wanted to get one of the players that they could get at 6, so we got to find a way to go back up there. Those trade talks were happening concurrently. So the Dolphins were only going to do that trade if they had a mechanism to get back up to 6 after the trade with the Niners.
The Eagles had to do it.
So because the Dolphins wanted to make sure that at the end of the day, they were no lower than 6, because in their mind, they got a couple first-round picks, and they were able to get the guy that they would take at 3 anyway, whether it's one of those. I still think it's a bad trade for the Dolphins. I think it's an absolute home run for the Eagles.
Well, no, it isn't. That's a dumb comment. I know I have to ask. I have to keep asking this question because every time I get the answer, it proves it's not a good trade. Here's the question, Ross Tucker. What's better on a team, one great player or two good ones?
Probably one great player.
Not probably.
Well, all right, so – at 6, how much of a better chance do I have of getting a great player than I do at 12?
I don't know. Maybe like 10, 15%, something like that?
That's a bad number. No, it's way more than that.
And I don't think it's way more than that.
I win this argument.
Angelo, they're going to be able to get the number one corner in the draft, or they're going to be able to get one of the top 3 receivers.
Ross, the problem with the what everybody's grappling with is – there's less of a chance for Howie Roseman to make a mistake than 12.
The way you said that, I almost thought for a second Howie wasn't making the pick.
Yeah.
How can you show that level of assurance when Howie blew the last 3 drafts, Ross Tucker?
But the issue is you guys, and this is what fans do a lot, and this is what you guys do, you're only looking at it through the prism of this year. Just remember, okay? Next year, when they have those 3 first-round picks, I want you to bring this up again. Next year, when they trade those 3 first-round picks for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, or let's say Hurts is good and they have three for and the Dolphins stink because Tua was not good and they have those three first round picks, I want to bring this conversation up again.
Well, I'd like to bring up the prism of the last three first round draft picks.
Yeah, the jury's still out. Jury's still out.
And did you just say we might end up with Deshaun Watson? How many masseuses are coming with him?
I think he's probably out of the masseuse
you
game.
Think
for
so?
A while.
I would hope.
I hope so. Ross Tuck, I love Tardy, man. You're the best. Again. Just so you understand, if you would like to see or hear the great work of Ross Tucker, you can reach him on social media at Ross Tucker NFL, and you can hear him every day on the Ross Tucker podcast. And he's got another podcast now with the betting.
Yep.
You're raking in the money, Ross. My God, you must be rich.
I don't know about that. I do like being in my underwear talking to you guys, though. It's nice.
You've been doing this in your underwear?
I could have done without that visual.
Yeah, that's Ross, I got to let you go now. I'm skeeved out.
All right, see you guys. I'm kidding.
I can't keep my Twizzlers down.
Yeah, what are you doing? I'm trying to do a serious radio program seated next to Mitch Williams.
Yeah.
Here's what I have encountered.
That's your first mistake.
Mitch Williams has Twizzler licorice.
Yeah.
And he's spitting into a bottle because he's also got a chore. Mitch.
Yes, sir.
It's 7:13 in the morning.
I've been up since 2.
What are you doing up at 2?
I couldn't sleep. I was so excited to come in here and do the show.
One zinger after another. Never ends. All right, let's go back. Oh, wait. Ava wants to do an update on our question of the day before I go to George. How you doing, Abe? What do we got?
I'm doing great, Angelo. Thanks for asking. Brought to you by Arm & Chevrolet of Ardmore. Arm & Chevrolet is your easy credit headquarters. Visit armandchevy.com. Click on the easy credit button. It's easy at Arm & Chevrolet. Do you think the Eagles will win more than 6.5 games in the 2021 NFL season? 61% say no.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Now I know why your son-in-law got rid of his tickets.
All right. Well, that was how I started the show. If they're going to be that bad, how in a pandemic can you write that check? That's what I'm trying to figure out. My son-in-law bailed after 15 years out. Wow. Very good seats. He gave up.
That's amazing.
He gave up, and now so then you pointed out something. I'm kicking myself now. Maybe I should have rode in and bought them.
Yeah.
Why didn't I do that?
You could have made money.
Then I could have given them to my grandchildren, and then they all could have gone to the game.
Is it already too late?
Oh, yeah, it's way too late. Huh. Plus, no one said I was actually going to do it.
No, that's true. Sorry. My bad.
Should I have done it? Because I could have gone to Mitch, and he would have given me a few bucks to throw in there. Right?
Yeah, I would have.
See, he would have helped me out. He's helpful. All right, let me go back to this because George is out of line now. George, do you have Eagle season tickets?
Yes, I do.
All right, did you renew them?
Yeah, we did renew them. Yep.
All right, now I got to – is my son-in-law the only one who didn't?
No.
George, tell me what went into your decision to renew them.
Well, we've been going to the games now, me and my son, since he's 3 years old. He's now 22. Oh. Basically, it's a tradition, and I don't understand fans giving up their tickets because of a bad season. We've had many bad seasons.
Yeah, it isn't just that, though. It's the pandemic. People have that much money right now, George.
Yeah, that's true. That's true also, right. You know. But, we've been going, me, my son, my good friend Johnny, you know him as JD from Philly.
His son,
Whitey, and the whole Philly gang. We've been going, we missed it last year because, you know, we really missed the good times, tailgating, and that's what it's all about, you know, getting to the games. And we usually don't leave there till way after the game, you know.
Where are you sitting? Do you have great seats?
We have great seats. We're in section 122 at the very top. It's a handicap section, but it's on a platform, and they're probably the best seats in the house.
Wow. And you had no reluctance, George. You didn't even think about it. You said, we renew. I'm not going to give these up. These are a family heirloom. This is something important to my whole family.
Absolutely. The only thing I was reluctant about is the two games that they added last year that we were allowed to go to. The second game was the Baltimore game.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they decided they were really going to jack up our ticket prices over our regular season ticket price, and I refused to do it, and I was hoping that the other fans did it too, just to send them a message that we're not going to pay that kind of money. A lot of people went, and I think that gives them the go to raise them again. You know,
right. Now, but I'm just curious, do you there is no chance you're giving these up anytime in the foreseeable future. Is that correct, George?
As long as I can take my son to the game, we'll be going, and that'll be a long time.
And this will be handed down to your son and his son and daughters and all the way down the generations to come.
Believe me, he's making sure that I put those tickets in my will.
George, do you know? Now I'm starting to think my son-in-law is the only one who bailed. Hmm. Do you know anybody who bailed?
No, not yet, but I think you're going to see some bails. But that'll give some people, some real fans, an opportunity to move up and possibly get season tickets.
You are not creating a family problem for me. My son-in-law is a fine fan. Don't start saying he's not a real fan. Give me somebody who would be a great host for Jeopardy.
100% would be Philadelphia's own, the great Merrill Reese.
Merrill Reese.
Be good.
You know by a long shot.
I think that's a pretty good one. Stay right there. All I have so far is Merrill Reese, William Shatner. I'm leaving one out. Who else?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. Bria said, don't give it to him.
I did not say that.
You don't like him.
I didn't like that one movie. That's
Which one?
Silver Linings Playbook.
I never watch it.
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
He was awesome in American Sniper, though.
Hold on. You never watched Silver Linings Playbook?
No.
What do you mean, no?
It sounds like a book club.
Robert De Niro, Bradley Cooper. Who's that girl? Jennifer
Lopez.
Jennifer Lawrence. She was very good in it.
Lopez.
She was very
Lopez
good.
Jennifer
wasn't
Lawrence.
In that movie? What the hell are you talking about?
She literally carried the movie.
Filmed in the city, all about the Eagles. Robert De Niro is a huge Eagles fan. Now you want to see it?
Yes, I do. I had never heard of it.
You will. I can't wait to. I want you to watch it next week. Come in and give a review.
Were you living in a cave?
He does.
I.
He was down in Texas.
Whatever's on Netflix
when it came out.
Prime.
No, I'm going to tell you the truth with you, and I know about you. You like drug cartels. You like big shootouts. You like violence. You like a lot of really edgy stuff.
I like action. Yeah,
there it is.
Oh, you'll get dancing in this ballroom dancing.
Right. Oh, that's exactly what I'm after.
It's about an Eagle fan.
If it's about anything Eagles, I'm watching it.
There you have it. See that? Give me a review next week.
Okay.
That should be fun.
Bob is on the line. Hi, Bob. Good morning. You're on 94 WIP. Hi, Bobby.
Good morning. First timer. I've been listening to you for 30 years. I used to listen to you milking the cows in my dairy bar.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Cool.
Wow. And you know the irony of that is that when you were doing that, I was lactose intolerant.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, I have a question for Mitch.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
The Phillies need a long man in the bullpen, and the enigma is Vinny Velasquez. Is his problem as simple as he has these clean innings when he's pitching from the lineup, and he has all these bad innings when a guy gets on because he's pitching from the stretch? Is it that simple, or he's got a lot more problem?
I don't think any lineup should see Vinny more than one time. One inning at a time, I think they'd have a really good reliever. But you can't ask him to go two.
All right, but
he starts thinking too much, uses too many pitches.
Mitch, how do you strike out the side one inning and then walk the ballpark the next? How is that
I've been there, done that.
No, so that's why I'm asking you. I can see
every
you
now and
expert.
Then you lose it.
You
Hector
do.
Lost it the other night.
Yeah.
He started getting around the ball and jerking his fastball.
It's all technique.
You have to be able to fix it.
Yeah.
If you can't make the adjustment, you can't play at this level. It's that simple.
Wow. And he just didn't make the adjustment.
Right.
Is he maybe not overly bright?
I don't know him, so I can't say, but looking at the way he pitches, it ain't real bright.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All right, Bob, Jeopardy, who's your host?
I'm going to go with Amy Adams.
Amy?
Even if she's not great, she's great to look at.
All right, hold on. I got to ask you this, Bob. You like redheads?
Old Dairyman.
Oh, yeah, I definitely like redheads.
And Margaret?
Bob, that is a fine decision by yourself. Because redheads, I'm sorry, Al, they lead the league. Yeah. I got into an argument off the air with Al. I said there's never been an unattractive redhead.
Bologna.
You didn't grow up in Boston.
Right. Yeah. No, I wasn't referring to men, because like Dan Donnelly.
Hey, but, I have a ginger. They're beautiful.
No, you're, one of your sisters is, right?
Not my son.
Oh, and your son yeah. is gorgeous.
And my sister Peggy is a redhead. Always the pretty one in the family.
Al, there's no unattractive redheads.
That is not true.
Really? Let me bring you down to the beach in Boston. When you come back from the yeah. water, there's a pile of ashes because they all burned up. You, when
it looks like they rolled them in the flour and took them to the beach.
215-592-9494.
Oh, there's some white between your freckles.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody stop it. 215-592-9494. When we return, the intelligent part of this show is over because now we are going to explore the incredible story yeah. of Tiger Woods yeah. and what happened to him, and all the information was released yesterday. This one will blow your mind. WIP Sports Time 722.